Crystal Palace in Wimbledon.
Chris! Shut up!
You just threw me off!
F***ing hell!
A warm welcome, everybody. It's episode 103 of the Sound of Football podcast. We're very glad that you decided to devote half an hour of your time to listening to us, wittering on as ever. If indeed you do stay for the full half an hour, we hope you do. This week, we will be talking about the League Cup because we've got the semi-final second legs going on in the next sort of few days or so. And of course, one member of the Sound of Football team is particularly interested in this. We won't give you any clues yet. We'll see if you can work it out. But basically, Crystal Palace are playing against Cardiff City. And you've also got Liverpool against, remind me, somebody. I've lost it.
Manchester City. This is how much preparation we've done for this podcast, isn't it?
It was just a temporary lapse. That's all right. That's all it was.
Only four teams we have to remember, and you know, we can't remember them all.
It was only 15 seconds ago you told me we were going to be talking about the League Cup, for heaven's sakes.
We agreed. You were never told anything. I wanted to do lanyards.
Yes. Mm. You wanted to do lanyards, didn't you?
No reaction from the public. No, okay, that's why we're not talking about lanyards. But anyway, yes, League Cup semi-finals. So we're going to discuss just how much value the League Cup has, and indeed whether the winner of the League Cup should get an automatic place into the Europa League, and on a wider scale, whether in fact the Championship in England, the second tier in England, should have a place in the Europa League itself, regardless of the League Cup. So I guess we should plough on. We'll come first to you, Terry. You must be tremendously excited ahead of the second leg this week. 1-0 up against Cardiff. Got to go to Cardiff, of course. Before we get on to anything else, what do you reckon Crystal Palace's chances, rather, of getting through that and getting to Wembley?
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to struggle there. I think that they're quite good and they're very good at home.
They are good at home.
I think it's going to be a difficult one. I'm not looking forward to the game. Whiteleaf are playing in the Surrey Senior Cup tomorrow, and I'm sorely tempted to go along there just to sort of take my mind off it. It's one of those games that I just think, well, you know, this is going to be really difficult to watch.
Yes.
Because I'm not going, so I'm going to sit and watch it on the BBC. I'm not quite sure how I feel about having to sit through it.
That'll only add to your torment. Sorry.
Well, there is that. Yes. what can you say? I don't think that a 1-0 is much of an advantage, although it is an advantage. I can't see Crystal Palace keeping a clean sheet for 90 minutes in Cardiff. So we're going to need another goal. And I think that might be difficult to come by. But I know, obviously, remain optimistic.
Well,
and it would be great to go to Wembley. It would be lovely to go to Wembley.
Wouldn't it just? Absolutely, yeah. It pains me to say it, but the result of the weekend was a bit of a shame. But for Crystal Palace against Blackpool.
Blackpool are a good side, though. So
they are. What I've seen of Crystal Palace, whenever I see Crystal Palace on TV, they look like a spirited bunch. And I, for one, will be waving the flag for them. What do you reckon, Graham?
I think they're having a very good season, considering where they've been in the last few years. And it looks like the new ownership is actually having a positive effect on the club. Would you say that's right, Terry?
I would say they're having a very positive effect on the club, and I think that their choice in Dougie Friedman was the right one, because not only is he obviously well respected and indeed loved, so he's got time, but he does appear to know what he's doing as well. He's a good coach, by the looks of things. So,
and some good talent coming through as well. I mean, that's not really that much of a surprise at Palace, but
but a particularly fine crop at the moment. Mm. We may well lose Nathaniel Clyne before the end of the month, which would be a real blow, but not before the end of this game of this week. But his contract is up at the end of the season, so he's not renewing, so he might well be off. But there is, of course, Wilfried Zaha is a guy who's a lot of people are talking about because of his performance at Old Trafford in the quarter-final. He's still young and so therefore can be a bit inconsistent. But he looks a very fine player. And I believe I might have mentioned on this podcast before Jonathan Williams, who won't be playing. He hasn't been playing. He's only 18. He's damaged his ligaments, alas.
Shame.
He was an absolutely staggeringly good player that I saw. Very, very gifted and intelligent. A real brain on him. Mm. A good central midfielder and a fantastic passer of the ball. And it's a shame that they've already dubbed him Johnny Esther at Selhurst Park.
Somebody had to do it, I suppose.
But I mean, the risk of sounding unbalanced. On the Cardiff front, though, I mean they're in a very good place themselves. They've successfully recovered from Ridsdale-itis, and they've got a very good coach, and you know a peer. I mean, the reason why I'm coming up with this is because we know we have at least one Cardiff City supporter who is a listener. So this is for you, Steve. I love the fact that we're on first-hand terms with our listeners.
When you've got an audience our size.
When you've only got a tiny audience and you know most of the people who listen to your podcast, either on Twitter or you've met personally, it's great. From Steve's point of view, I think that he'll be fairly confident that they can turn it around. We should really ask Steve, get him on the show, but it's recorded, so it's not...
Call him up, I'm sure.
Yes, you are on live.
But come on now, Terry, but cards on the table. When Palace get through tomorrow night, who do you want to be playing in the final?
Liverpool.
Certain amount.
Always Liverpool. Always want to play Liverpool in a big cup game. Because we're quite good against them in big cup games. So we've got a decent record against them. And it's Liverpool. And I'm sorry, no disrespect. Well, sorry. Lots of disrespect to Manchester City, but they're not Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool are a big, big historic club with lots of really good players, and it'll be fantastic. It'll be great to play Liverpool. And I won't feel quite so bad about losing to them. If you play Manchester City, you get the impression that they'll just be like, trundling through.
Yeah, going through the motions.
Looking at their watches, glancing up from their papers from time to time to see what the score is.
Adjusting their hanky's on their heads.
I want to see, because I know Liverpool will be bricking it if they come, if they play us. But they'll be bricking it if they get through, and they'll be bricking it whoever they play, because they badly need a trophy.
You don't think they'll all be turning up in white suits again?
I really would love it if they did that.
Maybe Crystal Palace should turn up in white suits.
Not even they would do it. Well, Palace should, just to take the mickey. Yeah. Those should be really, really cheap linen suits from Next in High Street Croydon. There's nothing wrong with Next as a brand, you understand.
No, indeed.
Just using them as an example.
Yes. No. As a shop you might find in Croydon.
Yeah, assuming there are any shops still open in Croydon.
Well, the question is, though, Graham, do Crystal Palace, or indeed Liverpool, whoever gets to win the trophy this year, do they deserve to get through to the Europa League next season? Now, I mean, in previous seasons, we may have sort of said, no, the prize is kind of disproportionate to the kind of team that might win it. But, you know, last season, it was Birmingham City, and I thought they did tremendously well in their run in Europa League, and they show that even if you are a minnow, dare I say it, in the English game, if you get through to the Europa League via the League Cup, then you too can show the best side of your team's qualities. No,
I think it is a bit interesting because the problem you have is the fact that the competition is regarded as second or third rate, and the Europa League is regarded by some, not us on this podcast, but as second rate as well. And so you've got the thing of winning one useless cup to enter into another one. And I know that there are clubs out there that do have that impression of both competitions.
Mm.
Now, with the League Cup, the amount of money you get for winning it is paltry.
Yeah.
I think it's less than £200,000 for actually winning the actual thing. Which add on the gate receipts and things like that, and it does bolster itself up.
Probably a bit of TV money chucked in.
Yeah, a load of
TV
money in there as well. But considering it's on BBC Two, I'm not really thinking that there's going to be that much even for the semi-finals. Yeah, I mean, it's probably just enough for teams like Palace, and I'm sure it makes a big difference for them And for Liverpool, it's more a question of winning something.
Well, yeah.
If Palace were a team that were really trying for automatic promotion this season, do you think they would have got as far as they have in this competition?
Yeah, it's a good question. I genuinely don't know the answer to that. Yeah. I think it's possible that the new management would have found some benefit in increasing and improving the club's profile by having them participate in the competition once they got past the early rounds.
Yeah.
And I think that any championship club would have been hard pressed to have not gone to Manchester United, for instance, in the quarter final and not fielded the full strength side.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of embarrassing. And apart from anything else, the ticket prices were set for the Old Trafford game at £42 for the away end.
Cheapest.
Now, obviously, remember this is a cup game, and this is because a portion of that income goes to the away side.
Mm.
It doesn't go to the home side. So the price was set in agreement with the club. So really, the least the club could then do if they're going to, you know, put that kind of levy on there,
yes,
would be to send a full strength side. But I think a lot of that will be down to the coach. I'd like to think that if Friedman said, "Look, I'm sending the kids up," mind you, most of the players are kids, but yeah, I'm sending a development team up. I'm not sending the full strength team up. I'm not going to win it. Then you'd like to think that the club would go, "Okay, well, fine. Well, then we shouldn't really worry too much about how much to charge, and then we'll just charge whatever United would normally charge and go with it for that." But £42 is a lot of money, and you think that they would, you know, would expect them to try and win that match and try and, you know, give it a really good go.
Yeah.
But technically speaking, Palace are promotion contenders because of the way that the league is, you know, because of the playoff structure. Palace could go on a decent run and get into the playoffs. It's entirely possible. Them and a clutch of other clubs as well.
Yeah, it's always so very close.
One could argue that that is already the case. But maybe if they were third, second, it might be a different situation.
Of course, this is, I mean, for me, last year, my team, West Ham, got to the semi-finals and were knocked out in the semis by the eventual winners, Birmingham. And, of course, Arsenal, your team, Graham, beaten in the final. So this is a competition that we're all, you know, firmly behind, it has to be said.
I don't find it a blot on the fixture list by any stretch.
I wouldn't want to see it go.
No.
And I think also it's been getting more valuable for Premier League clubs because I think they've seen it as a chance to bring in some fringe players.
Yeah.
And I don't actually think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, if it's not like the League Cup is struggling to find an identity. Its identity might not be terribly flattering in that it is, for the big clubs, they bring in the kids, and for the not-so-big clubs, they bring in the reserve team players and basically instruct them to go out and lose so that they can not have to think about it. I mean, the way that Wigan played against Palace in the earlier rounds, I want to be able to say Palace, you know, superb and brave, heroic performance, but Wigan barely turned up.
Do you think Martinez
can get off the pitch quick enough?
Do you think opinions shifted then? Because, of course, once upon a time there was this whole issue of the fact that Man United of this world, again, I'm just grabbing the first name that comes to mind, were essentially using the competition just to put out their kids. And do you think that now the opinion has shifted and people are actually sort of think, well, OK, that's not such a bad thing after all?
There's some virtue in that. Well, I think Arsenal are the pioneers for that. Because Arsenal took their kids all the way to the final one year, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
The snarling cup final against Chelsea, which was one of the best cup finals I've seen in years, incidentally. I mean, largely because it was tasty. But nevertheless, it was a good cup final. That. What year was that? I can't remember what year it was. 2000 and something, wasn't it?
Five?
2007?
I want to say five. Well done.
2007, well done.
Good work there. Oh, yeah. So there is some genuine virtue in that, and you know, Wenger took his team, took that team of youngsters there, and almost pulled it off. It would have been quite an achievement. So yeah, I think it has got genuine virtue, the Carling Cup. But you could maybe think about restructuring it, I guess, and there also might be an opportunity for you to experiment in formats that you think might work in other formats and that maybe wouldn't upset and alarm traditionalists by doing
so. Yeah, I mean, because they have made a few changes, haven't they, over the last few years. I mean, the fact of the Champions League sides get a bye to and the two-legged second round has gone, isn't it?
Now? Yep.
Yes.
So
that's right. It only actually gets to
semis,
to the two legs to the semis, isn't it?
So, well, it's amazing they've still held on to that.
Yes. But I suppose it's probably because they can't be bothered to find a neutral venue for the semi-final.
Ah, yeah. But this is where the whole game 39 thing comes in, isn't it? You see, if you had a tasty semi-final in
I hear a whacked out theory coming my way. yes, definitely a whacked out theory. Come on, Sibley, please. Well, your idea, your antidote to Game 39 via the League Cup. I've heard this one, so I shall remain silent.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you've got the opportunity.
Sorry, shh. Let him speak. Sorry, this is gold.
You've got two semi-finals to be played on neutral venues. So mm-hmm. why not have those somewhere in the Middle East in front of no one for a huge premium of £1 million for each side.
It would, I mean, apart from the fact that it would upset the Premier League hugely because it wasn't their competition, so, and ultimately it's the Football Leagues.
Yeah, but it would be
monumentally cheeky of the Football League to do that, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
And, I mean, obviously it would have to be by agreement with the clubs themselves.
Yes.
But, I mean...
Dangle half £1 million in front of them.
Well, there you go, yeah. Yeah, there isn't much a football club won't do for £500,000. If you are seriously thinking about doing crazy things with the fixtures, then sometimes there is some wisdom in maybe testing them out first.
Mm, yeah.
And it's possible that the League Cup could be, you know, a good opportunity for do that, because it is something that people watch, but they don't necessarily get too upset about when you monkey with the format. I mean, it's had its format, we just said it's that format's been monkeyed with all the way through.
Mm.
So, you know, in that respect, you know, there is getting back to the Europa League thing, Chris.
Yes.
It is a peculiarity of England that we have, and indeed Scotland, that we have this League Cup, which also comes with a Europa League spot. As far as I'm aware, and I'm sure I will be corrected if I'm wrong.
Yes.
I don't believe there are any of the major clubs in Europe even have a third domestic cup competition that goes all year round. Much less applies a European spot. Mm. To
well, Germany got rid of this, didn't they? Fair? The League Cup.
I wasn't even sure. There is. Yeah, no.
Well, that was a pre-season tournament, yeah. Really, wasn't it? Really,
that's right. And that didn't have a Europa League spot, or a UEFA Cup spot attached to it.
Hmm.
So it's only in here in the UK where this happens.
Hmm.
I mean, do we think that that's fair and right to do that? It does seem a bit harsh on, you know, the top divisions. If you finish sixth or seventh. You know, you go without a space in Europe. It does look a bit weird sometimes. You go down.
Yeah. It's a bit of an anachronism, isn't it? Yeah.
Qualifying rounds, and then you see one Europa League spot. And then basically you're hoping that one of the Champions League qualifiers also wins a domestic cup so that it offers another Europa League spot.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be better for the Premier League if there were more Europa League spots available? And then by then, therefore, having to sacrifice the League Cup's Europa League spot.
Yeah, I don't know, because we've seen in the last couple of years that teams that haven't necessarily been the sides that will finish up in those fifth and sixth positions actually going on and taking the Europa League, UEFA Cup quite seriously and actually getting some modicum of success out of it. I mean, I think look at Stoke this season, look at Fulham the other season as well,
yes.
And you've seen sides that have gone in there, taken it seriously, and actually gone a long way. Where you've seen other clubs that are perhaps vying for Champions League places that when they end up being...
It's a waste of time, isn't it?
It's a waste of time, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Spent all season trying to get it.
As some,
it's a waste of time, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, as some alleged tax evader might say.
Alleged tax evader?
I'm sure I don't know who you mean.
No, we don't know who you mean either. Those are the words of Graham Sibley. His address can be supplied upon request.
Oh, yes. Yes. Details coming up at the end.
That's a really good point, because, I mean, although Stoke obviously didn't win the League Cup, they finished runners-up in the FA Cup, and that's how they got... their Europa League spot, and they have participated vigorously in the competition, as did, and obviously also it should be said, Fulham didn't get theirs through the League Cup either. They got theirs through the Fair Play League. No, they got it through the league, didn't they?
Yeah.
They got it through qualifying for the league. So that is a perfect example. Mm. So a team that happens upon it by finishing, was it seventh?
I think it was.
Again, by a fact that everybody else, all the other teams won the cups, so it cascaded down. Fulham got picked up a Europa League spot, and they prosecuted it vigorously.
Yeah, because of course the League Cup, although in the FA Cup, the loser can pick up the place if the winner already has a.
That's right. That can't happen in the League
Cup. That doesn't happen in the League Cup.
No. So if Palace or Cardiff make it and then lose, they're not going to Europe.
They ain't going to Europe. No,
that's not happening.
No, indeed.
The winner, and then if the winner is going to the Champions League, then it gets knocked down. Mm. It goes. It gets applied to the league. So the consensus would appear to be that actually it's quite good that the League Cup winner has a Europa League spot, because the chances are that the club that wins it
will at least take it seriously.
Or inherits it, at the very least, will take it seriously.
Yeah. Mm. I must admit, I mean, talking about the FA Cup now, this round of fixtures in the League Cup, the only one that's of interest to me is Palace versus Cardiff. I mean, the game that the Liverpool and Man City will kick out on the Wednesday doesn't. I mean, I probably won't watch that. One of those will get to the final. It is far more interesting to me to see who out of Cardiff and Palace get.
Yeah, I suppose that would be.
And the final will be interesting to watch, because it will be a Championship side playing against one of the big Premier League sides.
Yeah,
what I was going to say is the fact that the FA Cup is coming up next weekend. And that's going to have loads of fixtures that I'll definitely want to watch, even like with the
old romance of the cup.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's no reason why a Carling Cup semi-final between Manchester United and Liverpool shouldn't be, you know, genuinely exciting.
Yeah,
any more than a fourth round FA Cup.
Yeah,
and yet.
Yeah, yeah. But when Liverpool play Man U at the weekend.
Yeah, but there's all other kinds of baggage going in on that one, isn't there? That's going to be a war, isn't it?
As I say, it's an interesting sort of dynamic thing there going on with regards to, you know, as we said, the League Cup final will be a Premier League side against a Championship side. And I know people that sort of say, well, in that case, you know, whether it's an FA Cup or a League Cup final, that make it you know, very one-sided. And yet, if you have, say, two Championship sides in the final, then that's kind of going to be boring, because you haven't got two, quote, decent sides playing. So, you know, it's kind of interesting whether a League Cup slant would kind of adds anything to the equation or not. I'm not quite sure, really. But, I mean, as you say, it's going to be, if it turns out to be Liverpool Crystal Palace, then so much the better, because there's previous with regards to that.
I don't know about that, because I would say, to people who would say that, is the fact that the playoff final, the Championship playoff final, is invariably a much better game than the Cup final.
Yeah, although in recent years it has got a little bit too tense, though, hasn't it? But some of the best Wembley finals in recent years have been the First Division / Championship playoff finals. That was a tasty game. Yeah, that was a good game. Yeah, no, that's true enough. But they can get very tense.
Yeah, they can get a bit too tense.
They're not as knockabout as they used to be. You don't get the sort of like 3-3s and 4-3s that you used to get in the late 90s, did you? Which is all classic stuff. And of course, we all remember the Sunderland-Charlton.
I was just going to say Charlton, yes, of course.
But also Reading-Bolton as well, I remember, was when Reading went 3-0 up, didn't they, and ended up losing 4-3 or something like that. That was a good one. Anyway, we're drifting away here.
We'll stay on the Championship for the time being. But before we do, just to go back to the earlier thing about sort of League Cups in countries, I know sort of my brief time following French football sort of intensely, is no longer the case, I'm sorry to say, but I happen to know for a fact that the Coupe de la Ligue in France, the winner of that gets to go into the third qualifying round of the Europa League. And I think in recent years it's been sort of mainly sort of top flight teams, really. I think going back, say, 10 years or so, you used to get a lot of minor teams getting through. I'm not quite sure whether they would have qualified for the kind of UEFA Cup equivalent or not, but certainly recent years you've had your Bordeaux and your Marseilles and your, you know, Lyons and people like that getting through. So it's kind of been a bit like, oh well, another top flight team getting through to the Europa League.
Well, I'll eat my hat then, because I wasn't aware of that.
You will.
The Coupe de la Ligue. Yeah,
you will manger your chapeau.
I will indeed manger my chapeau.
That's our next T-shirt design sorted. uh, Excuse us, everybody, while we just kind of sorry about dwell on that.
Professionalism, always professionalism. Yeah,
So there you go. So I just thought I'd kind of throw that in for anecdotal reference. Anyway, so we come back to the point that we mentioned at the beginning about whether maybe a championship side should get a place in the Europa League, because one could argue that the quality at the top end of the championship is not so far away from the quality at the bottom end of the Premier League, so why not?
And we've also had a championship team in the Europa League, which almost got out into the second stages as well, which has occurred to me. I thought, well, one thing they could do is they could take the champion, they could get rid of, if they were saying to get rid of the Carling Cup. I mean, this was the, I suggested this at the beginning of the podcast, or just before we press record, just in the event, because I figured that whether or not the conversation might take us in the direction of maybe we should get rid of the Carling Cup, which we've all said we wouldn't. No. So, in the event, in a parallel evil mirror universe and a football podcast where we all agreed to kill the Carling Cup, one option would be to apply that Europa League spot to the Championship.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'd like to see?
What would you like to see?
I'd like to see a playoff in the Premier League for the Europa League spot.
Now, this is done in Holland, is it not?
It does done.
There was some shenanigans. There was some hilarity, in fact.
Some hilarity.
And in Belgium. Or where am I thinking Belgium?
I think there are a couple of leagues, actually, that do this.
Belgium's postseason is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, obviously, as well, the up in Scotland as well, effectively, you've got playoffs for it, because you've got the divisional split.
I've been watching a lot more Scottish football recently, I'm beginning to form opinions based on informed. I would love to see Scotland really do a lot of interesting things with their league structure. And yeah, so but I'm not going to go into that now because I don't want to get.
We can discuss this when you've
some other time. Yes. But I certainly think that taking more imaginative approaches, generally speaking. But
is the only tier in professional football in England that doesn't have any kind of playoff at the end.
No, though there was talk. We did an entire podcast on the possibility of, was it the Champions League playoff? Or was that... That was...
Did we
agree that was a good idea or a bad idea?
I
know it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter, does it? Because whenever we come up with these ideas, they're not going to actually come to fruition.
No.
Unless one of those crazy fools at the Premier League actually listens to this.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the call from the Indian Football League about our media partnership. So sadly, I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
We're going to get jobs in the Premier League or the FA anytime soon. Alas.
It's not too late.
It was us thinking we were going to get some exclusive interviews with Robbie Fowler.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that just massively improve this podcast? Football interviews with footballers. That's what we're making. Can I think of anything more boring than an interview with a footballer? Christ alive.
So, Robbie, tell us what the Indian crowd made of your cocaine snorting routine. Yeah. Anyway. Where were we? I think we're coming to the end of the
podcast. I think we've
wrapped this one up now.
And not before time.
We always know that whenever we start about talking about people like Robbie Fowler, it's probably time.
You can hear the bell being rung. Yes. So there we are. Anyway, that's our take on the League Cup. And we wish Crystal Palace all the very best with our impartial view on these things. And we look forward to seeing
And if Cardiff make it, then we wish them all the best as well.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Well, awesome. I do anyway.
So, thank you very much indeed for listening. Do join us again for another show next week. Do get in touch with us if you have anything to say. Can't guarantee that we'll actually listen to what you're saying or we'll respond to it, but, there's always a first time for everything. That's what we say. So, do join us for that. Thank you very much indeed. And we'll join you again for show 104 next week. Till then, from the three of us, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Get in touch with the show at footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball.
If Crystal Palace win the League Cup, I'll manger my chapeau.